But touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it towards all the brothers which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brothers, that you increase more and more. You know, if you notice this passage, the Thessalonian Christians were not instructed to repent because of lack of filial love for one another, but rather were instructed to increase more and more in their filial love and agape love towards one another, as they learned and were taught from Christ to relate to each other, just as the Ephesian Christians were to learn from Christ how to relate to each other through the gospel. Ephesians 4, chapter, verse 20, 21. I want to give you the passage. I won't read them because I have so much time. It appears like the Thessalonian Christians were not in the habit of talking about love. Rather, they seem to be in the habit of exercising their love towards each other as they learned from Christ through the gospels. They were constantly amplifying the filial love towards their fellow Christians in spite of the offenses put before them. They could have lost their love for one another. Now, why did Apostle Paul instruct them to continue in a filial love when they're already in the filial love and doing good and well? The reason for that is because in the spiritual warfare against sin and Satan, we can easily lose a love for each other. And it can likewise can happen to us. Some of us have lost the love for God, for his truths, for the church, and for our fellow Christians who had drifted away into denominationalism and worldliness. Sometimes during our battle against sin and Satan and trials, our filial love and agape love for truths and God and his church and fellow Christians become lost as a result of sin, result of temptations and lawlessness. That Jesus himself warned us that could happen and will happen. Matthew 24, chapter, verse 12 talks about that. And Revelation chapter 2, 1 through 5, Christ reminded the Ephesians they lost the first love because of the trials they were facing. When the battle against temptation and sin and Satan, it could have such an effect upon our hearts that once we love the truth, the church, and a fellow man, and a fellow Christians, that we no longer have that filial love for each other. You say, can I be so? If not so, why do we have so many backsliders? They lost their love for each other. They lost their love for the church and for the truth. And that's the reason we find so many people leaving Christ, leaving the church, leaving his gospel, for denominationalism and worldliness. And we find many preachers compromising God's truths for human religious ideologies. And some of the members undermining the faithful preacher when preach the truth because they lost that filial love for each other they should have. You know, these individuals once had a great love for truth and fellow Christians. For instance, you remember Demas? He forsook Paul for the present world. Yeah. Did you stop and think that Demas loved the fellowship of the saints at the time? Yes, he did. But along the line, somewhere along the line, he lost that love. Many times, we lose our love through religious ideologies of Satan instead of faith that comes by hearing the word of God. Did you realize any religious ideology that's not found in the scriptures come from Satan himself? If you don't believe it, read 2 Timothy 4 chapter and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 chapter, verse 1. Those who love the Lord, those that love the truth, those that love their fellow Christians, will not allow Satan to have such an influence to destroy their faith, and they will continue with a filial and agape love for the fellow Christians, because they have a great love for Christ and his truth, and they really take serious their salvation. Yeah. Therefore, us in the 20th century, Christians, who love God, who love His Son, like the Thessalonica Christians. We need to heed and obey God's commandment to continue our filial love and agape love towards our fellow Christians, because we're not exempt from Satan's influence. For he's like a roaring lion, seeking who may devour. Destroy our love for God. Destroy our love for the truth. Destroy our love for our fellow Christians. And eventually destroy our salvation. And have destroyed the church. The devil can do a lot of damage to the church of Christ. But he will never wipe it out. The church will fight forever. It will be here when Christ comes. But his church will survive by God's power and will take her back into glory. Ephesians 5:23 said that Christ is the Savior of the church. He didn't say the Savior of people out of the church. He said Savior of the church, yeah. Those in the church. And 1 Thessalonians, first chapter, is it possible to get water? 1 Thessalonians, 1st chapter, verse 1, it tells you right into the church. And 4th chapter, 13 through 18 tells you that Christ is coming for the church to take it to glory. Now, with this in mind, let's consider 3 points concerning filial love and agape love toward our fellow Christians. Number one, why we as Christians ought to heed and obey this commandment to continue developing filial love towards each other. Number two, how to develop this brotherly love towards each other. Number three, how we ought to show it or display it, our filial love towards each other. Those are the 3 points I'd like to get across if I have time. Why we as Christians ought to heed and obey this commandment in developing a Christian brotherly love towards each other, as 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 9, 10 tell us. First of all, your salvation. My salvation depends on that. It's not just believing the truth. It takes more than that. It takes a love for each other and love for all men. In John 13, chapter 34 to 35, it tells you that Christ gave us the first commandment, and that commandment to love each other is what? As he loved us. A new commandment I give you to you, that you love one another as I love you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples and you have love for one another. Thank you. Did you notice in that passage, he was not suggesting anything. He was giving a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And he's the author of eternal salvation, those obey him. Hebrews 5:9. If you don't obey this commandment that you love each other as he loved us, your salvation is in jeopardy. Our faith in Christ and his word is not to be motivated by our selfish love. Like those false brothers that came in the church of Galatia, they were motivated by falsely love. The Apostle Paul reminded the Christians that our love as Christians is a love that worketh by faith. Galatians 5, chapter verse 6. If your faith don't work by love, it's not the love, the faith that Christ is looking for. Therefore, our salvation not to be in stake, then our faith is to be motivated by love as taught in the scriptures. We learn how to love by the gospel. Notice verse Ephesians 4, chapter, verse 20, 21. But you have not learned of Christ. If so be that you have heard him, that is Christ, have been taught by him, that is Christ. The truth is in Jesus. Christ was not around when Apostle Paul wrote this. How did they learn from Christ? Through the gospel. That's how you learn. Our love should not be based on our feelings or our human thinking, nor our human demands before we exercise a love towards each other. But rather, it should be a filial love that's motivated by agape love as we strive to overcome whatever hinders us to express our love towards each other. Romans chapter 12 and 21. Our faith in Christ should be motivated by agape love that motivates our heart to overrule filial love that will act selfishly. Our life becomes a gospel, as the gospel teaches, to love God, to love our fellow Christians, as well as fellow man and our physical family. Philippians 1:27, let your life become as a gospel of Christ. Our faith is not merely a belief of truth, but a faith that's moved by agape love for God and that binds us together in Christ as a family of God, as we strive together in obedience to Christ, overcoming those things that have a tendency to destroy or erupt or hinder our relationship. Christianity was not born out of just truth alone. Christianity was born out of love for the lost souls of the world. And it will survive, it will triumph by faith that works by agape love for God and His church and His truth and follow Christians. Ephesians 4:15 and 16, Galatians 5:6 and Galatians 5:13. If our faith is not motivated by agape love for God and His truth and follow Christians and follow men, our faith is in vain. For it's not the faith that God's looking for. Galatians 5:6, He's looking for a faith that works by love. So let us work together that our faith be motivated by agape love, so our salvation not be in stake. Secondly, what you need to practice agape love or filial love, because if you don't practice filial love, you ain't going to go to heaven. Notice in 1 John, 3rd chapter, 14 and 15. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brothers. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know no murderer has eternal life. So that's pretty serious business, isn't it? You know something else? One of the things that's going to determine whether you go to heaven or not is how we relate with each other. Matthew 25 chapter. Christ used one illustration. And you know what he said? As you treat my fellow Christian, that's how you treat me. And those that did not treat the fellow Christian they ought to be treated, they didn't go to heaven. So you might believe the truth. You might believe the right church. You might believe a lot of things correctly. But if you don't have a filial love for your brother, you're out of the picture. That's what Christ said. Matthew 25 chapter. It's one of the things he's going to judge us by. Therefore, if you want to go to heaven, we need to work together, develop this filial love for one another. We need to accept our different personality. All of us have a different personality. Some don't, you know, each one have a different personality. Some we kind of like, some we don't like, so forth. But we got to accept it as they are. Yeah. And we need to accept each other in our difference. Not in, I'm talking about opinions, not talking about Bible teachings. We need to exhort each other to become more like Christ-like. Romans 8 chapter and verse 29. This is the high goal that God has for us, that each one of us needs to become more like Christ, conform to Christ's image. You know, a lot of us are different in many ways. I've seen individuals that have an outgoing personality. Then we see other ones more reserved. And that should not make no difference. But in character, we need to strive to have the same likeness. 1 Timothy 4, chapter verse 11, or 16. It says, follow me as I follow Christ. And 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 1, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, if you got an NIV or American Standard, New American Standard, it'll say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's literally what the Greek says with the word follower. In other words, imitate Christ. Another thing, the only way you can imitate Christ is to follow the scriptures and put those into practice and become part of your life. That's 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter, verse 18. And beloved, if we don't work together and encourage each other to become more like Christ in our relationship, then one of us are not going to go to heaven. You know that? No. We're not going to hear those words, you're welcome in home from Christ. Listen. If we cannot get along in this life together, how do you expect to get along in heaven? You know that? For Christ will see to the guilty party will stay out of heaven, and if both are guilty, he'll see that both stay out of heaven. We've got to learn how to get along in this life together. We've got to work with that. Satan is busy trying to restore our relationship. He'll pick anything to destroy it. And if we have filial love, we'll not respond very good. That's why you have to practice agape love. I'll get that later. Satan don't care how much you love the truth. Satan don't care how much you love the church and whatever else the Bible teaches. He don't care as long as you don't love each other. That's all he cares. Because that will destroy our salvation. Second, how to develop. Is that the right time? Yeah. Mine says 20 till, and that one says 10 till. Which one is it? That says 20 till? Okay. You know, one time I didn't realize I was preaching away, and I preached a 2.5 hour preaching message. And I was wondering why everybody was leaving. Well, that really surprised me. Anyway, you know where the answer is found? How to develop this filial love for each other? In the same passage I just read. 2 Thessalonians 4, chapter, verse 9. There's note of that passage. Let's read that together. That same passage tells you how to have filial love for each other. But as touching brotherly love, ye not that I write unto you, but ye yourself are taught of God to love one another. In our English, the word love, and we only have one word for love. Yeah. Love for a wife, love for a brother, love for a friend, love for a fellow man. We just say word. That's all we got, just one English word. Yeah. But in the Greek, there's three Greek words for love. One of them is not found in the scriptures, as far as I know. And two are. And the two are found in the same passage. Where it says brotherly love, it means filial love. And where God taught you to love, that's agape love. touching brotherly love. This love is filial love. The love is commonly practiced by all of us. This is a human love we normally have, all of us, and we demonstrate it in kindness and so forth. Filial love we learn from our childhood. God gave us the ability to have this filial love. God gave us the ability to hate. We have those abilities. God didn't put hate in our life. We have this ability to do that. We have the ability to love too. I want you to notice the second word that Paul used. For yourself are taught of God to agape love one another. There's a little difference. Now, how did Thessalonica Christians manage to continue in their brotherly love towards each other and for the fellow Christians? By practicing agape love that they were taught by God through the gospel of Christ and the Holy Spirit assistance. Our filial love for our fellow Christians has very many limitations. And mostly it's motivated by selfishness, by selfish thinking. And we see this many times in our homes, in our marriage, in the churches, that hinder us to become the way God designed us to be in Christ's image. Romans 8:29, Ephesians 4:24, and Galatians 3:10. And that's the reason we have to be taught how to have agape love like the Thessalonica Christians had. Because human nature, we had the same problem in that era, in our era, human nature is the same. For those who don't hate us in our personalities, because we don't like their personality, it don't please us, we limit our filial love. We restrict it. Therefore, the agape love the Thessalonian Christians had, they learned from God, we also have to learn it. We need to practice. Somebody say, well, love should be natural. No, you learn to love. That's in First Titus 2nd chapter, I believe, verse 4. For our filial love has a tendency to put conditions before I can really express my filial love for you. You must agree in my opinions before I can like you. You must think the way I think. You must have the kind of personality I like, so forth, before I can express my filial love. Human nature has that tendency to do those things. But filial love, as a rule, we exercise it how you treat me. You're nice to me, I'm nice. You're rude with me, I'm rude. That's how filial love works. In order for filial love to be expressed, you must meet my selfish approval, or you must meet my expectations that I have for you before it continues. And if you don't meet my filial love expectations, then my filial love for you will cease until you meet them. And then you meet them, and then I express my filial love. You know, that happens in the physical world. In our relationships with families, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, they don't meet the expectation they expect. They don't practice filial love towards each other. The world don't have agape love. So they put their limitations. But we as Christians have a filial love. Filial love is an emotional thing. Agape love is not moved by emotions. I don't know if the Thessalonian Christians have physical relationships in the faith or not, but I'll tell you what, according to the scriptures, that ain't stopping from practicing filial love towards each other. How do they do it? I mean, after some people offend you, insult you, whatever it might be, how can you exercise love for them? Well, before I mention this, I like to say the scripture declares that every one of you and me have come short of the glory of God. Book of James, chapter 3, 2 tells you that all of us have offended each other one way or another. Ecclesiastes 7, chapter verse 20 tells you they're not a just man, they're not sinning not. So we have offended. And I believe the secret of the Thessalonian Christians was, if I want to be forgiven and I want them to continue loving me, I better continue loving you. You know that? Okay, same way with us. But you know, some people say, I can't do that. I can't show my filial love for my brother in Christ. Why not? Because that shows they're saved. That don't show they're saved. You're only doing what God told you to do. The relationship between that offender, that's between the offender and God, not you. You're only supposed to do what God told you to do. Give your filial love. That's all. But how the Christians, just like I did it, their love, a faith worked by love. See, it's not just believing what the Bible taught and what the gospel teach. It was motivated by a copy love. For yourself are taught of God to love one another, a agape love. They were taught by God through the gospel to practice a agape love. They possess, and with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, they can overrule and govern their filial love to behave not to behave. Ephesians 4, chapter verse 20, 21, Romans 5, 5. See, agape love never behaves by impulse. It don't behave by our feelings or how we treat it, nor run by a natural inclination towards the offenders, nor spend any time evil thoughts about the offenders or how to get even with them. But rather, agape love is looking and seeking for the spiritual warfare of her or he that won't lose their salvation nor their relationship in their faith. Therefore, they seek ways to reach them and keep in harmony with the will of God. You know, just as God expressed his agape love towards us sinners and sinning Christians, is the same way that God expects us to exercise agape love towards one another and sinners. His agape love never once violated his divine will nor his justice, as he expressed his agape love as it worked towards sinners and sinning Christians. And that's the same way our agape love should work towards each other. I'm going to have to skip pages here. I'd like to mention a few things more before I leave it. Did you know the Godhead? You say it's impossible. I can't have this agape love. I can't even exercise it. Well, I'll tell the truth, neither can I. But the reason we can do it, because we got help. We got help. When our selfish tell us otherwise, how can I love, feel a love towards her or him in the saints? How can I do this? We can do it with God's help. Not only God's help, but the provisions he provided that he gave us through his son, that we can be what we ought to be and exercise feel a love towards each other as Christians, as we allow him to work in our life and taking advantage of the provisions he gave us. Philippians 1:6 said that God begun a job, a work in your life. That's your salvation. And you know what it says? He's going to finish it. But he's not going to finish it if you don't let him finish it. If we fail, it is not God's fault, nor his provisions that are given by his son. It is us who fail for not allowing him work in our life and not taking advantage of his provision he gave us through his son. For the whole Godhead is involved in developing this agape love. Basically, the rest of the will of God, but my subject is agape love. Christianity consists of two elements, the divine element and the human element. God doing his part as we are striving to do our part. 1 Peter 5:10, Philippians 2, 12, and 13. And what God's going to do and will do and promise to do, he will fulfill it. He will not fail. He keeps all his words, he said. Jeremiah 1:12. It is us who fail to do what we ought to do as sinners or saints. And in so doing, we are preventing God from doing his part. Hymenaeus in Alexandria chose not to do his part, and they made a shipwreck of their faith. 1 Timothy, resist the Holy Spirit, may refuse to repent of our sins, our hate, our resentments, our bitterness, anger towards our fellow Christians. And thereby, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and it comes to a point the Holy Spirit leaves us. Acts 7:51, Ephesians 4:30-32, and 1 Thessalonians 5:19. You know that many of us here have refused to surrender their heart completely to the Spirit. They want to exercise filial love towards their brothers in Christ, but they'll continue in the religious life like all is well when things are not well. Hebrews 10:26 says, there's no more forgiveness of sin if we sin willfully. But us, those who are willing to allow the Holy Spirit work in their life, assist them to mortify their deeds. The Holy Spirit is here to help us to overcome the sins that hinder us from salvation and relationship with one another. Romans 8 chapter verse 13 said, mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And verse 14, we're children of God. God will assist us in our Christian life, who has called us into his fellowship, 1 Corinthians 1:9, through the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And you'll see, if we work with him, that our relation with him and one another as a brother and sister in Christ, in our filial love and a godly love, will continue in our life in harmony with his will. You'll see that. Then Christ also strengthens us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My friend, we can not only exercise filial love with one another as Christians, but the Holy Spirit is willing to assist us. A lot of people, I hear people, the lust of the flesh, so forth. You know what the lust of the flesh is? It's not this body. This body cannot lust for water or drink. This body don't crave for food. You know who craves for the food? The person lives in this body. You ever seen a dead man craving for water? No. You ever see a dead man, if it was a sinner, craving for alcohol? The reason they say don't lust of the flesh of body is because this body is the instrument, the tool we use to commit good or evil. Notice, and that's why in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he said we have to give account to every deed we've done with what? Our bodies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how it's done. James 2:26, the body without the spirit is dead. I never have seen activity in a dead body. I only see activity when the spirit is in a human body. Romans 6, chapter verse 12 and 13 tells you, the instruments, these members of the body we used to use for sin, now use them for instruments of righteousness. We have the whole Godhead, always ready to go, willing to assist us, if we are willing to strive to be overcomers. But the promise is for the overcomers. We fail at times. We don't dispute that. We can see that. In 1 John 1 chapter, verse 6 says, we ought to walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Christ cleanses for all righteousness. It's not talking about willful sins. It's talking, how many of us have sinned when we knew we're sinning? You know it? Those sins are forgiven. Verse 9, confess your sins. Now, I can confess a sin unless I know I'm sinning. I acknowledge my sin, confess to God. Then God will pardon me. You have to go, don't stop at verse 9. Take it up to 2nd chapter, up to verse 6. Because when we are forgiven, we got to be back in the track, making our image like Christ. How we ought to show this agape love? I'm going to rush it now. God informs us that our filial love for a fellow Christian is more than mere talk or words. It should be expressed by deeds. That's in 1 John 3, chapter verse 18 and 19. It is demonstrated not only a word of kindness, but a Christ-like attitude, Christ-like deeds and behavior that is harmony with Christ's teachings that Christ behaved like. Philippians 2nd chapter 1 through 5 and 1 Corinthians 11, 1. When was the last time do you pray your fellow Christian instead of gossiping everybody? If we gossip about our brothers in Christ, isn't this a sign of lack of filial love? Do we go out of our way when a fellow Christian asks her for some help, assistance, and we don't give him the assistance? Doesn't it show lack of love? Here comes a brother in Christ and says, I need a little help. He says, I can't help you. But another brother in Christ comes and says, I need a little help. He's just jumping right away. What's the difference? You didn't like that one, but you like this one. No filial love. My friend, if we cannot love your fellow Christians, how can you love God? God said, if you don't love your fellow Christian that you can see and can talk to, communicate like face to face, how can you love me you have not seen? 1 John 4, chapter, verse 20, 21. If a man says, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. He that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that we all, that he who loves God, love his brother. In fact, the Holy Spirit said, if you don't love your brother, you're lost. 1 John 4, chapter, verse 7 and 8. I'd like to say a lot more, but I have to bring it to close. But I'll tell you one thing. Filial love have a tendency to behave selfishly. Agape love kicks in and controls your filial love to behave properly towards your brother in Christ. And we need to let the agape love rule our lives. We need to let the Holy Spirit take over in our lives to control our behavior. The church, false teaching can destroy the church. No, don't know that doubt. But you know, I'm telling you something else to destroy the church. Well, you don't have a love for your brother. If you have a love for your brother, you want to maintain the church. So the church, because the church can't save you, by the way. But the family of God, they're working together, they want to go to heaven together. That's our goal. And the only way can we do that is have this agape love and filial love towards each other. Let agape love rule your filial love that you behave like a Christian and behave like Christ would behave. That's the kind of love we need to have for each other. Thank you.